guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. A's outfielder Ramon Loureiro has been suspended 6 games and Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron 20 games for their roles in Sunday's benches-clearing incident between the teams.
Did you hear what Loureiro said by way of apology, Stugatz?
No, what did he say?
I regret charging him because he's a loser. Not much in the way of an apology. If he had not been a loser, I would not regret charging him.
Did Cintron accept the apology? Or?
Well, that guy, that part is weird. The idea that a coach is in the dugout making fun of someone's mother. Like, that's what was reported there. And isn't that why he got, how many games did he get? 20?
20 games, yeah. Get 20 games.
A third of the season.
Exactly. AJ Hinch got 60.
Hey, you really turned that into a dub.
You really did. Yankees DH Giancarlo Stanton could miss up to a month with the hamstring injury that forced him to the injured list this past weekend. And finally, Disney Plus has revealed they are working on a Three Men and a Baby remake starring Zac Efron. This is his first movie with Disney since the High School Musical trilogy wrapped up in 2008. And who could forget that trilogy, especially the first one? Woo, was that good. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Stugatz, have you seen the latest report from the New York Post on ESPN's search for a Monday night football broadcasting team? Right now it's going to be Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Griese. But Did you see the report on from the New York Post on who ESPN made a run at?
No, wasn't it Peyton Manning that ESPN had made a run at?
Yeah, well, they do that every year. Every year they make a run at Peyton Manning, but it was Sean McVay.
Really?
Sean McVay, a guy who is presently coaching, who is young. This is according to the New York Post. I don't know if it's true or not, but that is inspired thinking, right? Hey, we'll give you so much money that we'll get you out of coaching. It's an easier job. Now, John Gruden went the other way, right? He went from a very easy job in broadcasting to going back to the NFL and the grind. And most of these broadcasters who come from that sport will tell you that being close to the game after you've played it is something that hurts. And so you get as close as you can in broadcasting to the field, literally, but you're reminded at every turn that you're outside of the action. And so now, because everyone's vying for these football rights, because you would imagine that Amazon would try and get into that game as well, what's being elevated here is the broadcaster that people are going after because they want to give a sturdier product to the NFL that represents the NFL. So you've got Romos everywhere as opposed to just Romo on CBS. And so you get a, you know, a report like this where you're talking about getting an active coach who is young out of the game. And my guess is he would probably be pretty great at that job.
Oh, like that's, have you ever seen him breaking down football? He does this a lot for the Rams social media. He is an absolute natural. I think he's going to be coaching in the NFL for a very long time. He gives off Gruden vibes. He gives off passion for the sport. Informative, but not talking down to you. He's going to be excellent at that. I'm excited to watch Hard Knocks. They're featuring two teams this season. He's one of the teams, and he's supposed to be a real star of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting they went after McVay. It's interesting that the dollars are enough where I'm assuming McVay at least has to consider that along with his agent and his family. Tony Romo has said recently that he loves broadcasting. He gets paid similar dollars. The body doesn't hurt on Monday. I mean, so McVay's a coach. He's not a player. And I'm certain Tony Romo would not go back and do it all over again. But there is something like, hey, I don't have to grind it out. And I can still make similar type dollars and only work that one night a week and a couple of days leading up to it, getting ready for the game, which wouldn't be a lot of prep work for a guy who is recent, who is now coaching in the NFL. I mean, that.
Yeah, that's but it would cool. be a, it would be a disaster public relations wise. You don't have your football coach fully committed to coaching. The second they lose a divisional game, it's the distraction.
Oh, no, Mike, I think you're taking it different. I think they were getting him out of coaching. I don't think
You think that they were trying to lure him?
Yes,
wow.
That's how I took that report.
100%.
I'm not taking that as they just want him on Mondays
because that would be interesting. Because he's active
not,
coach
because he's not busy. No,
wow.
I think that.
Yeah, no, Mike, they wanted to take McVay away from the Rams and make him, put him in
nutty.
The Monday Night Football booth. Yeah.
That's nutty. I think I'd prefer that job, especially if they pay me more.
But here's the thing. This is what I've learned about coaches, because I would say, Stugatz, for sure, the easier, better job is the broadcasting job. Like, you don't have to worry about that all year. Think about John Gruden was getting $6.5 million a year for basically 16 dates, like 16 days. Now, there's work that goes into it, but he's not sleeping on a couch at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, for sure, without question, for the dollar, the broadcasting job is the one that you want, especially given what's going on now, where people are trying to make a splash, because whatever $17, $18 million is to give Romo and seems like a lot, it's a penny in the bucket that the NFL plays with in terms of money. And if they want broadcasters paid that way because they want bigger names associated with their sport, then you do that to please your rights holder, because everybody wants to keep these NFL games on their televisions. They're the last thing that basically Netflix can't take from you. They can't take the live viewing experience of those games from you. Everything else on television is negotiable. You could watch it on demand.
So I wonder where ESPN goes from here. That's actually fascinating that they went after McVay. But I wonder where they go from here. Is it going to be Fowler and Herbstreit if there's no college football? Do you go after one of these coaches? Like, I consider Jim Harbaugh right now if I were ESPN. That would not be a terrible hire. He's got nothing to do, perhaps. You know,
that's actually a pretty good idea there, Stugatz. I'm sorry to sound so surprised, but what would the NFL reaction be if Sean McVay, potentially under this hypothetical, were to walk away before his coaching prime after a Super Bowl appearance just 2 years ago, to walk away from a marquee job to be a television commentator? Would the NFL prefer him being a commentator than the head coach, the young, vibrant head coach of a major market team?
He gets to do more if he's framing every event for them by teaching people about football. He gets to have more power in terms of influence for the NFL as a broadcaster than as a coach. But the thing that I was going to tell you about what I've learned about coaches, Stugatz, is that they come often from playing backgrounds. And when you come from playing backgrounds and then you become the coach, there's something empty about having less control over your results than you did as a player when you were taking care of your body and taking care of your team. And you're in the action more. A coach is in the weird position. It's why it can be such a miserable job of being a control freak while having very little of the actual control once the games start and the bounces start, and you're sitting there, you've prepared and over-prepared, and then something happens, somebody misses a block, and everything that you plan doesn't matter how much you prepared. So the absence of control is something that they're always fighting against by doing things like Gruden and sleeping in the office, overworking. And it is such a miserable addiction, Stugatz, so miserable that even though the other job is easier, they go back to coaching, to being on the sideline, to having, control freaks who have very little control, just trying to get that control. It is, to me, it's a fascinating study in sort of human happiness and human misery and how distorted you have to be about challenges and competition to go back to that heroin addiction when the alternate is, hey, here's the same amount of money. You only have to work 16 Mondays. You want it? No thanks. I want to sleep in my office on a couch at 4 o'clock in the morning because I want to see if I can get my 8-8 team to 9-7. Like, it is crazy.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I please get the stat of the day music, short version, shortest version? We've got a lot to get to.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
Review and the Hurricanes get penalized. Well, guess what? These Hurricanes don't die. A shorthanded goal. We are level.
We are live on playoff hockey. Carolina, Boston.
The doggy is also live. Live doggy.
This is from Jeff Passan on baseball. He reports in his last 6 games, Charlie Blackmon is 17 for 23. That's a .739 average. With 2 homers, 8 RBI, 10 runs, 4 walks, no strikeouts. Through 17 games, he is hitting .500. The major league average right now for batting average is .233, lower than even 1968. Charlie Blackmon is the only one doing anything in baseball in terms of batting average. He might hit .500 this season because the numbers don't matter, only greed does.
Third of the way through the season, he's got to be the odds-on favorite for MVP, no?
Yes, well, we have to start following this the way that we did, like, Wade Boggs hitting 400 and Tony Gwynn. Like, will Charlie Blackmon hit 500 this season?
And then what do we do?
Yeah, well, let's just distort all the numbers. If you're going to make the only numbers matter being at the bank, like, let's just distort everything. Let's go for somebody hitting 500 this season.
I think Boz has to be the home run king now. I mean, baseball has clearly told you they don't care about anything other than finishing a season. That's it.
That's it. Chris, you've been saying for weeks now that you have an NBA fun fact. I don't know what this NBA fun fact is. I have a something between a withering and decaying feeling of confidence when it comes to you stepping to a microphone. So where are we right now? Somewhere on the spectrum between withering and decaying. I don't know where I'd put it, but it's teetering between both. What is the NBA fun fact that you allege to have?
I love a fun fact, Dan. Do you love a fun fact? You seem like I know Stugatz loves a fun fact, but I'm asking, do you love a fun fact?
You are not helping my confidence in you right now by being chummy and doing morning show banter, pregame show banter, trying to get coax some softness out of me. Either be good or be gone.
I just love fun. I don't care about the facts. I mean, just fun.
I as well love a fun fact, Dan. And a few games back, the Clippers had on the court at one point all 5 players with 2 first names. Here they are.
Oh, wait.
Kawhi Leonard.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on a second.
Wow.
Hold on. So you are saying that every person that they put on the court, all there were 10 first names on the court for your Clippers is what you're alleging.
That's right, Dan.
All right.
Here they are.
All right. You started with Kawhi. That's not anyone's first name except his, but okay. I don't know anyone else named Kawhi, but
go ahead.
Okay.
So you're arguing one of the first names here is not actually.
I'm just saying Leonard is more of a first name than Kawhi is.
They're both first names, clearly.
Okay, very good. Put it on the poll, Tony. What's more of a first name, Leonard or Kawhi?
Do you know someone with the last name Kawhi? I mean,
I don't know about you guys, but I am having fun so far with this segment. Okay, so we have Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
We have Paul George, obviously. Yeah. Patrick Beverley.
Sneaky one.
This next guy, yes, he's still in the league. Joakim Noah is the fourth guy on the court. And the fifth guy, Marcus Morris. Wow.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I was really hoping for it to be like Mo Harkless or something like that.
Now you say to yourself, how rare is this, Chris? And I did some digging. Two first names, not as rare as we actually think. I started just going through sports. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Bryce Harper, Billy Gill, Mike Ryan, John Wiener. There are a lot of names out here
that
both the first and the last names are first names.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Wiener.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Rob Schneider expected to join us here, I think.
Stu Gotz, he had to cancel. He'll be back tomorrow. He had to cancel. Okay. We had a lot of success with him yesterday. He will be back tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you for the update, Dana. And perhaps Friday, maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? At what point do we go in and ask for Chris Rock and Adam Sandler? That is the big question.
That is your department, my friend.
Okay, I'm on it. I'll think about it. Okay. Here's your SportsCenter update. A's outfielder Ramon Loreño has been suspended 6 games and Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron 20 games for their roles in Sunday's benches-clearing incident between the teams. Yankees DH Giancarlo Stanton could miss up to a month with the hamstring injury that forced him to the injured list this past weekend. And finally, there's no antidote for a blue-ringed octopus bite. However, if you can get to a ventilator to help you breathe and wait out the 15 hours of paralysis, your muscles will start working again and you'll survive.
Jesus.
Goodness. Jeez.
That's a good sentence right there. If you can just withstand the 15 hours of paralysis.
No, first you have to get to a ventilator.
Yeah.
Then wait out the 15 That's hours right. of paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
Then the muscles will start working again, and then you'll survive.
That's right.
For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Chris Cody brought up a good point during one of the commercial breaks, again, being better off air than he is on air. He said, what don't you understand, Dan, about people getting fulfillment from their jobs? Like, why wouldn't a Jay or a John Gruden choose football over the easier job of broadcasting because of the level of fulfillment that he gets from overcoming a bigger challenge? And it's a really good point. I would just submit to the entire audience, which do you prefer, easy money or hard-earned money? At Le Batard Show, put it on the poll. What do you prefer, easy money or hard-earned money? Because I think we can all agree that Sean McVay doing the Monday Night Football job would be a vastly, by leaps and bounds, easier job, less of a challenge than coaching NFL football.
Is that a poll I'm not allowed to vote on? How does that
work? I assume that most people, I get great fulfillment from my work, and I'm always told, like, I know, I've got great gratitude because I can't believe that we get to do the stupid thing where we get to create and they pay us money. So I get both things. I get the fulfillment and I get the money. And I understand why it is that people would always, Stugatz, doctors, lawyers, they want jobs like that. They want that when they have their jobs, which are good in terms of pay and maybe in terms of helping people, they're like, oh man, I want that job in sports where I get to just talk like that. But I always assumed that the great majority of people listening to this right now don't enjoy their work. And so if I say making money at work, do you want it to be easy money or do you want it to be maximum challenge hard? I get the pricelessness of fulfillment, but I thought the majority of the audience would prefer easy money.
I think you're probably right. They would. The interesting thing about coaching, though, is it is in sports. It does come with a lot of dollars. It comes with a lot of pressure. But you can have the best of both worlds, Dan. You can get paid, enjoyment, and have fulfillment. I mean, you can have all of that wrapped up into one, as opposed to you're never going to get the fulfillment of calling a game that you will coaching a game and helping your team and coming up with something that helps your team win a game. I don't think you can replace that fulfillment.
Understood. And you are correct, because what coaches will tell you and players is that being at the center of all of that, of the gladiator spectacle. And look, this is what we're coming back to. If you see what's happening in America, it's get the games back out there so we can enjoy just the gladiator spectacle of this to distract us on what's going on in life. The people at the center of that wonderful competitive chaos will tell you that they get to feel a more heightened sense of alive than the rest of us. You don't jump up and down in many places in your life with emotional joy. Even the happiest days of your life, when you're crying because you've seen a child born, you're not jumping up and down, yelling at a television screen, hugging your friends in a way that sports does. So, like, I get the portion of it, but the amount of work that you have to do in order to get to that, I thought that the American people here, who like to think of themselves as hardworking, if I say to them, hey, here's $10,000, you could either work really hard for it or not work really hard for it. You could work really hard for it, and this one will have more fulfillment if you achieve what you're trying to achieve, because going 4-12 in that league is a special kind of misery, Stugatz. Like,
no
that,
doubt, yes.
Like, that is a, like, even people like Shanahan, wildly successful, my guess is his offseason was total crap. Like, just, like, wake up in the morning and feel in your stomach something that's horribly sour because you were that close to the fulfillment, but 6 minutes from the fulfillment.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, one of the guys we're talking about is John Gruden. For, you know, a long time, he chose the easier path because, Lord knows, Gruden was offered coaching jobs just about every offseason he was here doing Monday Night Football, and he was probably offered better coaching jobs than the one they ended up taking with the Raiders and passed those down to continue to work one day a week. He was great at it. He was excellent at it, but the fulfillment didn't mean that much to him then. And then clearly somewhere along the way, something changed, and it probably had to do with $10 million and some ownership.
Well, that, yes, but they also are addicted to the challenges. Like, there is something to be said if you're a competitive person, if you're a competitionaholic, that you would go seeking the harder dollars, because your entire construct as a warrior is sort of, where are the challenges? How do I problem solve? And those things aren't available to you in a booth where you're just going, you know, wow, I love football, and here is, you know, the banana play or whatever it is that he calls spider web double banana.
You know, a wise man once said, I never feel more alive than when they're taking the chips away.
Was that Al Pacino?
That was Al Pacino in Two for the Money.
What a terrible movie.
What do you mean, what a terrible movie?
What?
Matthew McConaughey goes shirtless and pumps iron to get the perfect pick after he hits a cold streak. It's an unbelievable film. And I live my life by that mantra.
Well, that's why right now...
I have no choice but to, because they're taking the chips away constantly.
What is the update right now that you have for us on Boston, Carolina?
Doggy is still alive. We're knotted at 2. Right now we're playing some 4-on-4 hockey. 5 minutes and 53 seconds left in the second period. A little brunch time playoff hockey, Dano.
I feel like we're going to be chasing this Carolina bet the entire day.
Oh, yeah, especially if I lose. Woo! I'm going to feel mighty alive.
Does Hawaii have a hockey team? I mean,
Stugatz, we have, and I don't know whether to do this now or tease it. Okay, let me tease it, because you have heard before what we believe to be the cockiest thing that Stephen A. Smith has ever said. We play this sound all the time, and I want to play it for the audience now, because I think Stephen A. Smith has just entered the arena and said something cockier than what we have identified as the cockiest thing ever said by him and the cockiest thing ever said by anybody.
I have profound respect for the late Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul. But if it might be the cockiest thing that I've ever said. Christopher Darden and Marcia Clark did an absolutely horrendous job as prosecutors. Because if it were me, there's no way in hell Johnny Cochran would have beaten me with that evidence that they had. I'm telling you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. There is no way that you would have put 12 jurors in front of me with that evidence, and I would have lost to even the Johnny Cochran. I'd have won that trial. I've often said that.
Best two sentences in the history of the network are the cockiness and the swagger in those last two sentences that he said.
But I love that Stephen A., and only Stephen A. can say this, it might be the cockiest thing I've ever said. Because else says that, we know it's the cockiest.
We might have another nominee.
We've got another nominee, but before we do that, I just want to listen to that sound again, and what I want you to absorb, okay, is not just the absurdity of the front end, but I want you to imagine him like straightening his jacket for the last two sentences as he sort of gets his confidence 100% in a place where yours has never been, and he says flatly that he's often said that.
I have profound respect for the late Johnny Cochran, God rest his soul. But if it might be the cockiest thing that I've ever said. Christopher Darden and Marcia Clark did an absolutely horrendous job as prosecutors. Because if it were me, there's no way in hell Johnny Cochran would have beaten me with that evidence that they had. I'm telling you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. There is no way that you would have put 12 jurors in front of me with that evidence, and I would have lost to even the Johnny Cochran. I'd have won that trial. I've often said that.
All right, we're coming back next year with what might be a cockier statement than that. Yes, maybe. I don't know for sure. All right, so we have to build up to this Stephen A. quote, and I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but we believe we have a nominee, at the very least, a competitor in the game for being the cockiest thing ever said by Stephen A. Smith. We'll get to it in a second, but let's update the polls first at Lebatard Show, Stu Gatz.
Yep, Twitter poll brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking newer longer. At Lebatard Show on Twitter. I have to scroll over there. Do deflections mean so much more in overtime playoff hockey? Yes, they do. I mean, what a ridiculous question. 87% of the audience said yes. They mean truly, everything.
Truly, if you want the local hour soaked in way too much sports, today is the day for you because Mike Ryan and I made a mess of sports analysis by doing it super serious.
Yeah, soaked in analysis. You can't get anywhere else.
But locally, they're going to love it. If you want sports talk radio locally, it's for you. The local hour today is for you.
I'll take a listen. Are there times you are watching NBA games and the graphics make you feel like the human beings are video game characters?
This is happening to everybody, right? It's not just me.
Yeah. Well, it's happening to 79% of our audience. Did you realize how much you've missed Kevin Harlan?
I didn't. Neither did you guys.
66% of the audience said no. Good. Is anyone in 2020 using the word hunk to describe a handsome man? I did that earlier. What's our new guy, Mike? Sergeant who?
Plitzko?
Yeah. Yes.
Cleveland Indians, handsome Cleveland Indians pitcher, hunky.
Yes. 76% of the audience said no. Do you know who Burt Sugar is?
Stugatz's references, my references, getting older and older. We are falling rapidly out of the demo. Burt Sugar, the famous Boston boxing historian and writer. How many people don't know who he is?
This is going to hurt, Dan. 70% of the audience said no. Man. Funnier name for a boxing specialist. Burt Sugar, Larry Merchant, Harold Letterman.
This is good. Be Letterman. This is important. This is an important poll.
Guys, Burt Sugar, going away.
Really?
73% of the audience chose Burt Sugar. Amazing. Scrolling up here, Mystery Crate, check it out. Did you miss 7-foot All-Star Brad Daugherty on NASCAR? That's really not written.
7-foot basketball All-Star. It's your fault. Don't read anymore because I got to get to this Stephen A. Smith quote. before we get out of here. Just save the rest of the polls for tomorrow, please.
Right. Let's
get
51% to 51% of the audience in that.
Yeah. This Stephen A. Smith quote. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. From is it spoken or is it from Twitter?
This is a tweet. He's responding to a tweet that says Stephen A. for president, goat emoji. Stephen A. sees that from his verified Twitter accounts. He retweets with a comment, I'd run if I had the support. Although I'm no politician, I'm about what's best for the country. I'd like my chances versus Trump or Biden, especially in a debate. And yes, I'm serious. Although I'm obviously not doing it.
You're right.
I don't know if I disagree with him. I don't even know how shocking that is. Stephen A. Smith.
I mean, the debate portion, no question.
That's why he underlines it by saying, especially in a debate.
Right, but in an election, I don't know. He wins the debates. I don't know. Does he win the election?
He's not a politician and he's not a lawyer, but he can absolutely win the presidency of the United States running on a platform of, I would have won the O.J. Simpson trial. I've often said that. Like, that could be his campaign slogan as he makes his way through America. Who's going to disagree with him?
I'd like to have one ounce of his confidence for 1 second of my life.
You never will, my friend. Never.
All right, as we kick off this post show, the first thing I want to say is, whatever happened to John Brinkus? Is this one that we've discussed?
Yep, good question.
I mean, I love sports science, and it's just completely gone. Tony, who's someone else that you didn't get to say earlier?
That's a good one, though, because I had not even known that he was gone. You just pointed out to me that the sports science segment has gone away, but I always found that informative. I figure people now in America simply don't want any kind of science, and since we're sticking to sports around here at ESPN, they just don't want the science guy around here.
Yeah. I may or may not have had some influence in Brinkus moving on. I mean, I don't
Stu Gatz, I know what? For a fact at some point you pitched something to John Brinkus. You had to have.
What happened? Why do you have anything to do with Brinkus leaving?
Seriously.
I don't want any science in my sports. I just want sports, man. I mean, for science.
So you sent anti-John Brinkus emails up the chain?
Yeah, perhaps.
I think one of the most haunting things, and I think this might have been one of the last things that John Brinkus did on sports science, was the visual of what it takes to be eating 70 hot dogs in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. He had like one of those ballistic dummies with the tube open for his esophagus and was just jamming down like wet hot dog buns and hot dogs into the guy's belly. So it would just grow and grow and grow. I think everybody got so grossed out. They're like, you know what? We're done. We're no more sports science. We're out of here.
Chris, you mentioned the idea of Stu Gatz like sending up the chain, like ripping people who are above him. I'm going to tell a story here.
Oh,
I'm going to have to keep some of the names out of it. No, this isn't actually at your expense, Stu Gatz. Just know that there's a little Stu Gatz in everyone, including Tony Kornheiser.
Oh.
Who loves to pick up a telephone, yes, and call an executive and just bark into the phone, he's a talentless troll. Get him off the air.
I was going to beg you to stop because I thought it was one of a story about me, but oh my God.
I've seen Kornheiser do that multiple times where he's just screaming into a telephone saying someone shouldn't be on television.
There's no doubt he has called someone and said that about me at some point, right?
Oh, no, Wilbon, Mike. Well, Mike just left because he had to get out of here in an emergency. But Wilbon, with you, Wilbon is still on the rampage with you, Stu Gatz.
Why? I mean, I respect Michael Wilbon. I do. Like when I got here, I couldn't believe I landed. Now, perhaps this is part of the problem that I landed at the same network that Michael Wilbon works at. I couldn't believe that we had, I want to say, similar platforms, even though I know more people are watching PTI than perhaps listening to our radio show. But I was thrilled to be at the same place and arrived at the same place as Michael Wilbon. I respect him. The problem is Michael Wilbon. He thinks that he can only have sports conversations with you and Kornheiser. What the hell's going on?
It is so great, Chris. It is so great that Stu Gatz is absolutely right. Like, if you look at the construct of everything we've been trying to do around here for a long time in terms of bouncing up against the machine and growing this. Like, the greatest joys have been in watching Stugatz scurry his way up the ladder, unapologetically shady and awful and unshaven and unable to read anything. And so the whole goal is for us to get Stugatz up there where Wilbon is. And in some ways he is, but I just love the symbolism, Stugatz, of this place that you are flattered to be in the company of Wilbon because you've arrived. It offends him that you were next to him there. Like, you're flattered to be there. And he's like, what's this doing here? Get out of here.
You're flattered? He is offended. That's on him, though. He doesn't get it, man. Nobody wins this fight. If you take Stugatz seriously and you try to get seriously angry at him,
right,
you lose. Right. That's it.
No, but that's Chris, that's like the dirty secret of everything we've done around here in a decade at ESPN. That's exactly how Stugatz scurries up there into places where, of course, the audience is laughing at. Why is Mike Wilbon taking any of that seriously? Like, that is the kernel of the joke we've been making around here for 10 years.
But at least Wilbon, like, displays his displeasure with it. I wonder now that I'm thinking about it, are there people who have been nice and supportive of me but are thinking the same thing as Michael Wilbon is thinking? Meaning, Bob Lee was very supportive of me when Bob Lee was still working here. I've outlasted Bob Lee at ESPN, which is laugh out loud. But I wonder, somewhere deep down in the recesses of Bob Lee's mind, was he thinking at any point, perhaps it led to his retirement, how did this guy land at the same network that I did?
Oh, but Stugatz, I think that we could make the argument that a good portions of ESPN don't get the show. Like, don't get exactly what it is because they're not listening to it or whatever. They just don't understand what it is that we're doing. We're always goofing around, and we're the stupid show. How do they have a following? Like, I'm guessing a whole lot of people at our place don't care for what it is that we're doing. Well, you're seeing more of it now than ever, right? On August 17th, you're going to see the radio lineup go super sports, 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 sports. And we're going to be up against it doing what we do, which is patently ridiculous. And I'm guessing that they will continue not exactly like what we're doing. But as it relates specifically to you, you tell me, because this one popped up the other day and I hadn't thought about it. It's not something that I thought. Like, you and I were just joking around about losing the hour in radio, and people need to understand that Stugatz actually does work hard. Like, part of this, like, it's not that he's not looking for every lazy out that he could possibly get, but when he's working hard. So it's part of the bit that Stugatz keeps saying that he doesn't care about the fans and he gets to work less. But when you ask me how do people at ESPN feel, I thought that me playing the straight man, sort of objecting to the hour loss as we move to podcasts, I thought that I was taking the route of being upset publicly, while you went with the character route of one fewer hour of work and I'm getting the same pay. This is my dream job. But imagine how that goes over in Bristol during a pandemic when everyone is, you know, we're white knuckled because there's no sports. So imagine how that one lands. Stugatz, like, swaggering around. I've outlasted Bob Lee, buddy. They're paying me to do less, buddy.
I mean, that one they should be upset with because I'm being serious.
But seriously, don't you find that we're often in these positions where you don't know how people – Stugatz is likable. Like, Stugatz, the reason Stugatz gets away with what can only be described as evil is because everyone likes Stugatz. So how do you imagine you go over there with, like, people who don't understand that you're playing a character? It's a real-life character, but you're playing a character. It's really you, but it's just you turned up to 1,000.
It's interesting. First off, thank you for all the compliments. I don't need to take a shower. You have showered me with compliments during this. To your larger point, you are right. I'm not happy that they took an hour of our radio show away. I care deeply about our radio show. Everyone involved with our radio show, I think, knows that. I know Dan knows that. And it frustrates me that they don't know that. they don't know what I'm saying. You're paying me the same to do less? I'm joking. And the fact that people up there after being we've been working here, I think, 6 years now, 7 years now. And the fact that they still don't know that what I'm doing in part is, you know, some character stuff, really frustrates me. It just does. That people that I thought care about me, they don't know what the hell it is I'm doing down here. It's crazy.
I even get a little bit of this because I say things on the air that I sometimes are not really fully behind, and I'm just trying to be funny. I've gotten emails from suits at ESPN saying you need to return your cart after you go to the shopping, the grocery store. Like, I think they're emailing me that jokingly, but I'm saying to myself, do they think I'm a terrible person because I say I don't pick up my dog's poop and I don't return my shopping cart? Like, I worry about, like, what these suits think of me, you know, since I say things like that as part of the show.
It's funny that you say this because letting people really deeply behind the curtain here, Billy's not around here, but the conversations, if you've been watching what we've been doing at ESPN for 10 years, bumping against the stuff that's fun, Stugatz is, again, very loudly a character that is real because he lies like that and everything else, like it's all real, but Billy has been afraid of leaning into that because the biggest bet we made at ESPN is that we would get Stugatz as the court jester in here and he would climb onto Michael Wilbon's head, and we have cashed that bet. Like, it's been pretty cool, but Billy's still not on board, or Billy wrestles with the idea, but man, they're not going to take me seriously up there if I'm always the jackass.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to Billy about it. He needs to stop caring so much about that and care a little bit less.
I mean, feel like that's just me being the idiot that doesn't think about those things, and I'm just like, let's do it. It's funny.
Well, but it's funny because we've all grown up in this environment, and you guys think it's somehow normal. Like, right. This isn't the normal environment. Their environment is the normal one. Ours is the weirdest environment in the history of sports media.
I'm screwed.